Live, Michael Angley, live on United Public Radio Network International Broadcast. Wow, what a week in news, man. And every day I wake up, I see a new sex offender get ousted somewhere from somewhere, or outed, I should say, exposed, ousted, yeah, because they're losing their jobs. And there's a whole bunch of things going on. Now you got Al Franken. And yeah, no surprise, all these people coming out with all the stuff that they were doing, it is no surprise. I am not surprised. Are you surprised? Look at their character. But Al Franken, so self-righteous. And, you know, one of those guys who's so wrapped up in himself. Boom, there he is in a picture of, like, filling up some girl's boobs as she fell asleep. And then other people coming forward saying he sexually assaulted them and all those things. So there it is. Now he's a senator. That's a pretty big deal. And he's so outspoken. That's a pretty big deal because it just shows the level of hypocrisy and what total hypocrites these people are. So I think that we can just go down the list. I don't know what rock Bill Clinton's hiding under these days. Not too many people are bringing his name out. But when you want to talk about sex offenders, we could talk about Bill Clinton all day long. 36 women accuse him of rape and or molestation, not including all the rest of the women that, you know, he pushed himself on. They weren't ready for it, date rape, whatever you want. Since high school, Bill Clinton, right? He is a serial sex offender, a predator. That is what it is. And then, oh, man, the Democratic Party, they don't want to hear words like that. Predator, sex offender. The Catholic Church, they don't want to hear words like that. They don't want, you know why? Because they want to sell you the goddamn lie. They want to sell you the lie. They want to seduce you with stuff. That's what they do. They, in one way or the other, they're all offering you something and you're handing over your money. Isn't that what it is? Isn't that really what it is? Whether it's politics or religion? You know, come on, man. So in this crazy old world, we have a thing called the justice system here in the United States anyway. Some places have degrees of justice, right? U.S., I'll tell you, man, our justice system ain't perfect, but it does work basically well, all right? And when I see people like Hillary Clinton, and I know that all the shenanigans that she has been part of, and when I say shenanigans, I say crime, all the crime that she's taking part of, because as I'm sitting here watching the news unfold, and not cable news, or any of that crap. It's crap. It's crap TV. I mean, just watching the news, listening to the news, reading the news. I do a lot of reading. I see these people for what they are. And I know that they, you know what they do? They create their own rules. And then they play by their rules. But their rules are unfair. So when you have Congress and all these wealthy people, especially, you know, special interest groups and things like that, you have big-time lobbyists pushing all this money that these politicians are addicted to. They are not going to say no. They're addicted. All this money that gets pushed in their direction. I'll tell you something. It's a danger to freedom. And not just freedom to the U.S., freedom all over the world. Talking about corruption. And these people are corrupt and they're horrible. So, yeah, we can go down the list. One, down the list. Oh, yeah, no surprise. Oh, look at their character, no surprise. Oh, yeah, actor, you know. Oh, they say the sex offender. Oh, yeah, rapist, sure. Oh, no surprise. Charlie Sheen, oh, rapist. Oh, yeah, no surprise. No surprise because it's like this. It's like these TV shows from back in the day that would portray evil of the devil and the devil's helpers and all that, right? And then they definitely had, you know, a plus minus thing going on with good and evil. The evil people that are depicted are always like these Charlie Sheens or, you know, and it sounds weird, right? But it's a very innocent way to explain how terrible people really are. And it's not cute or interesting or there's nothing rewarding about it spiritually. off of being like that, you know, and they're not bad boys. Charlie Sheen's not a bad boy. I know a guy named Jed. He was in Vietnam. He saved his whole platoon by taking two machine guns, one in each arm. He ran at a machine gunner's nest, and they were like, you know, they had, you know, bags of sand in front of them, and, you know, they had a lot of protection. This guy ran at them, got shot 9 times, went into that nest, and killed every last one of them, and saved his whole platoon. That's a bad boy. That's a badass. Not a scumbag Charlie Sheen. He's never done anything gallant in his life. Not in his life. He's just a little rich boy who got movies because his father was in movies. And then he's this horrible, disgusting person. Yeah, I'm going to judge him. He has a disgusting excuse for a human being. You got so many good people in the world die of cancer. Terrible things happen to them. Accidents that happen to wipe out whole families of good, loving, caring, honest people. You get these scumbags that just keep going and going and going, and they're just complete low-life scumbags. That's what gets me. And I know a lot of people out there feel the same thing, that when you're sitting there, you're like looking at these horrible people, and they're out there in the media. They're out there on display. They're on stage in front of you. They're entertaining you. They're capturing you in some way. And that's what you have to question. Who's putting that forth? Who is selling that to you? Are they there because it's like a car wreck? Because people can't stay away from it. They gotta look. They gotta look and check out what's going on. How about the goodness of humanity? How about the kindness of people? I see it all the time. It gets downplayed. Even Vice President Mike Pence. I don't know the guy. I don't know his business. I don't know what he does. I know that he's a farm boy, basically. He's a politician. You know, it's very hard for me to make a judgment call. You know, when people say, hey, what do you think of this guy? I think he's a decent guy. I don't know. I can only go by accounts of what I know. But I know this. The people out there that there's a group of people out there that I don't like. A group of them. They have no morals or values. They want to tear our country apart, our Constitution. They want to tear down the office of the president. And it's ongoing, right? There's a group out there. There's an entity. And I know when that entity attacks something, I know the thing they're attacking is probably pretty good. It's probably a good thing. So these people were attacking Mike Pence. I'm talking about liberals, of course. Extreme liberals. They're attacking Mike Pence because he's a good family man, loves his kids. Oh, yeah, he's not like Joe Biden. We got, you know, 1,600 pictures of Joe Biden sealing up little girls or sticking his face in their neck and whispering things in the air. These girls got such a look on their face. Like, why is this gross old guy doing it? Get your hands off me, Grandpa. Right? That's Democrat. And I'm not going to bash Democrats. I'm not going to bash anybody. I'm going to talk about people's character. But yeah, when they go after Mike Pence, because he's a good family guy and he's got some values, sure, maybe that's on the surface. Maybe the guy's a crazy maniac. Well, there's a lot of people like that. They fool you. That's why I don't make these judgment calls on people. You know, if I meet somebody in person, or if I get remotely close to them, or if I start talking to them or conversing and communicating in some way, I automatically get a feeling for who they are and what they're all about. And it's very rare that I let something pass me by. It's more about dealing with people that you know are messed up because you have to deal with them, but you already know this about them, you know, rather than trusting somebody, you know, especially with important things. So I like the guy as he is, if he's a decent person. That's fine. And I can't judge somebody for living a certain way that I live or don't live because they're not me. I'm not them. I don't let people judge me that way. I don't let people tell me what I should be thinking. I see there's a lot of that out there. And that group, the hardcore libs, want you to do and to do what they say, not to think on your own. So I'm going to ask you guys a question. What makes these people, like in Hollywood, or people who are wealthy, people who are famous in some way where they have some kind of power, what makes them think that their feelings are more valid than yours? You know? And that lies the problem. That's the gap of humanity. That's the class war that goes on, where you have the wealthy and the powerful, the robber barons, telling the workers, the pawns, what to do, what to say, when to die, how to die. It's as simple as that. The well-to-do and the people who have nothing. There's nothing in between, you know? So when I hear George Clooney call people stupid because of the way they voted, I'm going to think, you know, who are you to say that? I mean, just, you know, make your movie and shut up. Nobody wants to hear your politics. Sure, the Democrats have their hands out. So George Clooney raised tens of millions of dollars for Barack Obama. He had Obama's ear. Whatever George Clooney felt like or wanted, he dropped Obama a line. He paid for that. He paid for that connection. Obama knew that he was a wealth of money, power, fame. So it's an addiction, a seduction. We allow our politicians to be seduced by money and power. We don't put a stop to it. We don't vote against it. We don't stop it in any way, shape, or form. Instead, we let them hurt us in so many ways. We let them misrepresent us in so many ways. Because I know there's things that go on in the world that you don't want to go on. And I'll tell you about Obama. He didn't listen to the will of the people. At least that idiot Trump listens to the will of the people. You can say what you want about him. You know, the whole thing about, you know, allowing elephants to be killed and brought back here to the U.S. You know, that was his damn sons. I don't like either of his. I don't like his kids. I like Ivanka. I love Ivanka. Let's say, man, I love her. But I don't like his sons. I think that they're just finger puppets at best. They don't have original thoughts or ideas. They're just freaking robots, right? So you know they're big game hunters, and you know that was a big deal to them and their friends who are big game hunters. Yeah, oh, yeah, Dad's the president. We can make this law or whatever. And there was an outcry, and not just from me. From everybody, people around the world, an outcry. You know, and elephants are under an endangered species list. That's contradictory terms when you say, well, you can't kill elephants, but yeah, you can kill them and bring them back to the U.S. I don't believe in a lot of that stuff. I don't believe in a lot of the sport. You know, I think that it's just, you know what, I don't begrudge hunters. Like right now it's hunting season. They're hunting for deer around where I am. And it's a short season. And there's a lot of rules. They got to pay attention to. They have to get permits for that and all that. And yeah, you get poachers. You get people break the law. That type of thing. They also get turned in. You know, I don't hunt. I wouldn't shoot the deer. But, you know, these guys eat the venison and the whole bit. I can't begrudge them that, right? But elephants, I can begrudge. Lions, I can begrudge. You know, trophy hunting, there's better things that guys, you know, these guys could be doing with their time and money, in my view. But we don't have to allow it in our country. And our country is what we are, all of us together. So Trump responded, and he reversed it. Right? He listened to people. And he listened to people in a matter of like a day. It was a day. You know, if that was Obama, he would have never reversed it. He would have just sat there and not cared. not, you know, listen to people cry out. I don't care. Bush was like that too. You know, they didn't even let Bush see protesters. The protesters got cordoned off. And when he was going in his little motorcade, he wouldn't even see them. They wouldn't let him read newspapers that had anything political at all. Imagine that. President. But he was a village idiot, you know. We all know who the president was during that time. And it wasn't George W. Bush. And he has no legacy. And you know what? I like the fact that Trump called them out on the legacy, both of the Bushes, and said, you know, I mean, really said that they're nothing. They accomplished little goals. They did terrible things. And I know that Trump was all against George W. Bush for the Iraqi war and that whole thing, the whole thing with Afghanistan and not getting bin Laden in time. Trump was tied on. I'm not going to sing songs for him, but I'll tell you, he was out there talking about this. And I like it because I was saying the same stuff. And a lot of people who had a heart were saying the same stuff. Like, why is this going on? What are you doing? Why are you lying about this war to, you know, to go after Saddam and all that nonsense? You think Saddam would still be there? He would have been gone. He would have been gone just like Muammar Gaddafi. You know, they botched that, Hillary and Barack. That's what happens when you get involved in nation building. Iraq, now Syria. You know, and I'll tell you this, man. These people in that theater have always been killing each other, always had war. In fact, that desert between Iraq and Syria is called Armageddon. They named it Armageddon. It was the first war that was ever recorded and fought. So you have warring Muslim factions. There are, you know, for the people, I think there's just one type of Muslim. There's not. There's lots and lots. Like Christianity, there's lots of types. And yet, you have factions that don't believe in what each other believes, and they get involved in these wars. They get involved in these terrible, terrible wars, and they go on and on and on and on and on and on. Look at the Crusades. Look at all that. More. You're going to have all these religions duking it out, man. You know? For years. Look at the Spanish Inquisition. Trying to convert Jews and Muslims to Christianity. There's lots of that. You think Jesus Christ would be down with any of that? Or even Muhammad? Whatever, man. People are so limited. You know? Freaking really limited. When I see these people just fall for it, I'm like, oh my God. And you can't talk to them. You can't reason with them. You can't tell them anything because they're brainwashed. You can't say anything to them. They go crazy. They'll drive a bus through your house. You know? You insult their God. So you play along. Like, yeah. I don't let people preach at me. And when those Mormons, the Mormons don't even come to my house anymore, man. They must have like a big red X on my house. They walk right past, look all scared. I nailed them like 3 years ago. You want to talk about Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Joseph Smith and people believe that crap. You know, and it just goes to show you how fast you can build a religion. And look at the Mormons, man. They're worldwide. They have their hands in all kinds of stuff politically. Lots of money. You know, they own Marriott hotels, right? Lots of companies, corporations, things like that. So it's big religions, big money. Look at the Catholic Church. They don't have any money. They're all about hoarding money. You know, they care about the poor, but then they hoard money. They didn't hoard money, there wouldn't be any poor. They create the poor. You know, now there's a new book that came out. This guy got arrested because he took documents from the Catholic Church and published them. Banking records, all these fudged numbers, all these popes that had bank accounts with billions of bucks, they could spend whatever they want, and their secretaries, all the lavish gifts and stuff that went back and forth, and sex offenders. The fact that the Vatican dorms is a host to many a gay sex party with drugs, gay sex, all that. It's not quite what you think about when you think about the Catholic Church. Oh, right. They walk down with that. They got their little incense burner going back. Oh, big 24 karat gold Jesus with jewels in his eyes. Beard made of smoked diamonds. Oh, you know, sit down, my children. Let me preach to you. You've all sinned. Now pay me. Yeah, pay me, you sinners. Give me your money or go to hell. Go get play with the devil. You're going to have sex with the devil tonight because you didn't pay me. It scared the shit out of people. Of course they pay. So say that the devil's going to hump me. Okay, here's some money. If I pay my way out of the devil humping, I'm doing all right. All right? That's what they do. Are they helping people? I remember when the church bought people a slice of pizza. That's very generous of them. A whole slice of pizza for anybody that was there that day. A whole slice. Wow. You know, the Pope rides around that big Mercedes Robo Pope Mobile. That's pretty snazzy. He's got all those Secret Service guys covering him. Got the Vatican Guard, the Swiss Guard, man. Machine guns. They own a munitions factory. They own Beretta firearms. They make guns and ammo. They make bombs, missiles, all kinds of stuff. You think they're just walking around wearing dresses, man? They have enterprise. The church ain't no joke. Plus, they have gold. They have catacombs of gold, heavily guarded. Gold, jewels, coins, whatever they could pay, whatever pirate to go steal for them. Back in the day, they did it. They own property all around the world that's tax-free. Those properties collect an incredible amount of money. They harbor child molesters and don't do anything about it. But then the Pope will call people who don't believe in climate change perverse. Well, out of all the stuff I just listed, I think that's all perverted. In my world, in my virtue, the Jesus that I know, the God that I know, the Creator, what I think a Creator is, can't even fit in your brain. It's complicated, but simple. But the people out there that just follow blindly, and then they do it, you know, their faith, in my opinion, is just so misplaced. And if they read the Bible, it says that in the Old Testament, that people, it says that, and people are going to use these words for their own personal gain, and they called them false prophets. Then the New Testament came out, where everything in the Old Testament that was bad, in the New Testament made good, right? Then you have the Catholic Church. You have all these big organizations that sprouted up, and they're all about money, not about faith, not about spiritualness, money. So the Pope chastised people at this climate conference in Germany, right, saying that they shouldn't feel pressured. Get this. Now, I want you to think about this sentence. They shouldn't feel pressured by others in the decisions that they make. But climate deniers are perverse. Boom. Now, you have the Pope telling you not to feel pressured by others who want you to believe in something that the Pope doesn't believe in. So by the Pope putting pressure on you at the same time, and if you don't listen to the Pope, you're going to go to hell and be humped by the devil. I'm not down with that. So here, you give the Pope some money, you light a candle, you drop a 20 in the box, and get out of there, and then go sin some more. You pay your way out of that, you know? My father used to own a gas station, a service station in Rockville Central, Long Island, right? And we serviced cars for the Archdiocese, you know? And most of their cars were bought new, so they would go back to the dealership, you know, warranted. The men always drove a Mercedes. It was a thing. Never not. Always a Mercedes. The women, the nuns, would be like a Buick or a Chevy, you know? They'd come in there for gas. They had an account. And there was this one guy who was just really creepy. I didn't like him at all from head to toe. I felt like there was a force field around me. I didn't want the guy even coming near me. So this dude ended up getting sent up years later, you know, for child molestation, all that. Archdiocese had a lot of power, you know. So I know a lot about the Catholic Church, and I have friends who went to Catholic school. My mom went to Catholic school. I did not. She didn't have a good experience. A lot of Italians send their kids to Catholic school. But this guy, I used to say things to this guy that pissed him off. And I was young, and it wasn't like being naive. Like, you know, for instance, I was told that a Mercedes is a very expensive car. And my mom told me to become a priest, you have to take a vow of poverty. So to me, the two things collided in my brain. So I asked this guy, if you took a vow of poverty, how can you have such an expensive car? He got so pissed at me. He's yelling at my father, you should beat this boy, disrespectful boy. Blah. My father thought it was funny. My father was evil anyway, but he thought it was funny because he didn't care about them. You know? It was like people have a very dim view on religion sometimes, man. But of all the things that have been said and done and all the things that have come out and like sexual allegations, things like that, doesn't it make you say, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. How come people didn't come out before and draw all these people out? How come, you know, how come the Catholic Church had to be shut down because of these terrible things that they've done over the years in harboring child molesters? Not just, you know, and it's a promotion of these pedophiles, right? Because they would just move them around. They wouldn't kick them out. They wouldn't bring them to law. They wouldn't alert the authorities. So they would harbor these criminals, they would destroy evidence, they would tamper with evidence, they would obstruct evidence, they would hold things from the authorities because they didn't want to look bad. They didn't want it to impact their business of religion. They wanted to move these people around. So they would take these child molesters who were known child molesters and put them in another town, sometimes another country, and these guys would not stop. They would keep going. So I have all these victims from all of these predators. Where's the justice? They went after a couple of them, one here, one there. You know what that means? Nothing. Where's the justice? You know, where's the justice when its own organization? Perverse. If you don't believe what the Pope believes, is that really what the Pope's job is? You know, there's a lot of people in the Catholic Church that aren't happy with what the Pope is doing, what he says, and that they don't, and he doesn't stand for what they stand for. There's part of the church trying to get rid of him because he's interfering with what they're doing. So I don't know. I don't think that Jesus Christ would be a guy who would back the Catholic Church, not in any way, shape, or form. And they've used his name, they've used his image, they've used his likeness, they've used his story to make money. And who do they help? Oh, there's Catholic Charities. Now, what do? They give, what, 4 or 5% of what they take in to some charity? Wow, that's amazing. 4 or 5%, not, you know, 60, 70% or 100%. 80%, what do they do with the rest of the money? Oh, yeah, those Mercedes that they buy, you know, or all the gold. Let's get a gold statue of Jesus. I remember when they put this big gold statue of Jesus in the Archdiocese. It was a big deal, ribbon cutting. They invited everybody, man. Come see our golden Jesus. I said, I hope someone steals that thing and melts it down for Christmas. You know what I mean? Take that thing, melt it down, feed the poor. Because that's what Jesus would do with it. If you want to know what Jesus would do with something like that, that's what Jesus would do. But, oh, we're in the world of hypocrisy. We're in the world of, you don't believe in what I believe in, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, F you, all that, man. They don't know a lot of people, I guess. You know? And I like it hot. I don't mind it. But I got this thing inside of me called virtue. And it's a moral compass. It points me north. And I know where that north is. And it's not the Catholic Church. It's not temples, synagogues, or any of these other groups that get together. Even the little churches out and about, you're going to have some person preach to you. They don't know your life. That's why you're not supposed to have anyone between you and God. And what's the first thing? First commandment, the first thing the book of Genesis says, God said, put no one before me. Well, that's pretty freaking simple. It's like buying a pack of Oreo cookies. You're not going to give it to somebody else and have them hand it out to you. No, no one gets between you and your Oreos. I'm hungry, so just saying. And I'm not the person that eats Oreos either anymore. I was, but I'm not. As I gave up eating sugar, really, all that stuff became disgusting. So that was the main reason. But I'll tell you this. No eternal reward will forgive us now for wasting the dawn. Jim Morrison said that from The Doors, right? And I got to say, Malcolm Young died today, man. Oh, my God. Can this year get any crappier? Really? With all the stuff going on, I got stuff with my family going on. Horrible, man. Lost so much this year. And just horrible. Year of the fire rooster. I knew it was going to be bad. Fire rooster is never good. Anyway, Malcolm Young, man. Guitarist, AC/DC, Angus Young's brother. Love AC/DC. Listen to them. I don't know. Maybe I was 11 years old. I started listening. There's this guy, John Baltimore. I was 13, 12 years old. I was in seventh grade. Introduced me to a whole bunch of bands. Not AC/DC, though. I found AC/DC on my own. Just off the radio, yeah. But one of my favorite bands, probably my all-time of music that I can listen to over and over again. And never get tired of it. And not, you know, they're an amazing rock and roll band, you know. So I like the olden days, AC/DC, before Brian Johnson, you know. But I'll tell you, man, Malcolm Young, he had gotten dementia. I know that happened to him. And they went off tour because of that. Also, Brian Johnson wasn't really down with, you know, doing these tour dates. These guys are older, man. You want to slow down a little bit and enjoy the fruits of your labor. And that's the kind of thing, yeah. You know, you don't have to do five shows a week. You can slow down to, you know, a couple shows a month even. And that makes it even more special and nicer and, you know, gather in larger venues so more people can be exposed to it. But there was a Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. It was the first album that my mom would not buy me. So she was going to this department store one night. Anything I can get for you, whatever. And I was like, yeah, I want to get this album from a band called AC/DC, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. She's like, oh, I don't like the sound of that. You know? So she comes home later on. I was like, where's my album? She's like, I'm not buying that for you. With songs like Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, Problem Child, and Big Balls. So I was like, I went out the next day and bought it from the record store in Rockville Center on Sunrise Highway. Boom. Record store / head shop. Went home, listened to my AC/DC. Yeah, man. But he'll be missed. I missed the band. They're not playing live. They tried playing with Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses. I don't know why they even bother. Like, really? That guy's such a tool. But I could think of a lot of better people. You know what? It's hard to replace a singer. And, you know, after Bon Scott, their first singer had died, you know, Brian Johnson got in there. He's all right. I'm not going to take anything away from Brian Johnson. He's a good singer, you know, good vocalist, got a lot of energy. You know, Bon Scott was just totally different in every way, shape, or form. Bon Scott was made for the band. Brian Johnson was filling in for Bon Scott. That's kind of how it goes. but they produced a lot of great music since Bon Scott passed away. And I love every bit of it. You know, I listen to, you know, newer stuff, but my favorite is the old AC/DC. So, you know, my prayers go out to the Young family and all AC/DC fans out there, anybody who cares. So we're all feeling it today. So, and then, you know, David Cassidy has got organ failure, you know, so he's in the hospital too. That guy I never really got into. I used to watch the Partridge Family and have horny dreams for Lori. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Not really the mom. I wasn't much into that whole scene, the MILF scene when I was a youth. You know, I dream of Jeannie, Barbara Eden. Every guy was like, whoa, Barbara Eden. She was just beautiful on top of beautiful to this day. Just beautiful on top of beautiful, man. You know, inside and out, too. One of my friends who was an attorney hunted her down. He's like all with autographs. So he's got pictures of himself and Barbara Eden, whatever. Hunting everybody down. He hunted down one of our teachers. You know, this guy was all bug-eyed. Like, he went to hunt him down in Florida. He knocks on the door. Hey, I was your student back in 1984. The guy's like, oh, God, are you here to beat me up? I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. That's more like when I run to old teachers. Hey, you. I remember you. They were start running. It's that freaking bastard. Run down the street with their arms flailing in the air. Hey, you were my English teacher. Come back. I want to show you my skills, my English. No, you don't want to talk to me. I was a class clown. I made their lives a living freaking hell. I just didn't believe what they were saying, you know. I wasn't down with the government-fed bullcrap. I actually knew what was going on in the world. I knew the news. I come from a newsy family, you know, and people always had the news on, man. We always had WOR radio, one of them. Growing up, I was addicted to 1010 Winds, man. All news, all the time. Give us 20 minutes, we'll give you the world. I still listen to 1010 Winds with a radio app because I'm not in the area where I can access it anymore. But I'll tell you, I'm a news junkie. And I think that, you know, of course, I'm here. I am on the radio blabbing to you about my stupid life and the news, you know. But, I mean, that's Trump. You know, his stupid life in the news. He's a news junkie. The guy's a news junkie. So I like that because I like people who are well informed and not people who will repeat something they heard off of CNN and not even do a good job of it. And I'm like, you know, where do you even hear this? CNN. I'm like, don't even talk to me. If you're going to start quoting CNN headlines to me, I'm going to make up my own headlines. I could make up an alien baby runs the world. Yeah, I can make up any stupid headline I want all day long. I want to see evidence. You tell me that Trump's some criminal, he committed a crime. I want to see evidence. Do I believe that Jared Kushner, you know, did stupid things? I would believe it. I think that this is the deal. I think that a lot of people who are Trump's sycophants, who kiss his ass, who try to impress him, including his own sons, and it must be hard to be his sons. His daughter's different. He's got two daughters, right? One's kind of special, and she's off on the side. But Ivanka wants to be involved, right? She's out there. But Trump and Ivanka have some kind of weird special connection. And he treats her differently anyway than he treats his other two sons, his sons anyway. But I don't like either. I don't like his sons. I don't like just the energy they give off. I don't like it, you know. And I'm not in love with Trump to begin with. You know, I just can't believe he's president. And whenever like I hear these lips scream, he's president, blame yourself. Blame your stupid DNC. Blame your party. Oh, yeah. They colluded against Bernie Sanders there, screwed him into the ground. made him look like an idiot that he is. Fake-ass revolutionaries. Now, turns out his wife has been lying to banks, taking money, not paying loans back. You know, that's not presidential material. We can't have that crap in the White House. We already had that with Hillary Clinton. And look where she is. She's under investigation. She's under suspicion. They told Jeff Sessions, do something about this and get out. Sessions, the next morning, he's, talked to federal investigators. They're all set. They're going to go after. They're going to investigate the Clinton Foundation. Well, then do it. Freaking do it. You little elf. What the hell are you waiting for? I don't like that guy. I'm not a fan of Jeff Sessions. I don't like him at all. As a matter of fact, like 100%, I don't like the guy. I don't just like the whole vibe. And I can say that. Pence, I have barely no opinion. Ask me if I like Pence, I'll tell you, I don't know. But Jeff Sessions, I see his character. I see
Happy
what he
does.
I've read
dinner,
things that he
darling.
Said, I've read racist things he
can
said. I know that he was denied
a
federal judgeship because of racist remarks he's made.
One bottle has the grease cleaning
I
power
think
of
that
three.
He's just another little ass-kissing weasel. I don't like him. Trump doesn't like him either because Jeff Sessions goes and recuses himself from the Hillary Clinton stuff, and then that's how Mueller came into play to begin with. Sessions should have been the one to appoint somebody or do the investigation or whatever. So, yeah, that's what we got, man. That's what we have, and Trump is an island unto himself, an island. I describe myself that way sometimes. Because I'm not on the right, I'm not on the left, I'm middle of the road, which I think that most people are. And then a lot of people are like, you know, why can't we have both? You know, there's things I like that are liberal ideas, there's things I like that are conservative ideas. You know, there should be a nice, healthy mix. Not all the way one side, all the way to the other. You know what that ensures? It ensures people to take a side. It ensures that there's going to be a battle. It ensures there's going to be a lot of opposition to things that you don't even need opposition for. It creates a lot of red tape and just bureaucrat type of stuff. You know? Everything with bureaucrats, no bureaucrats. A bureaucrat is somebody appointed to a governmental office, and they're usually the laziest politicians you've ever seen in your life. And they are politicians. They don't run for office. They get appointed. And then they just are in the muck and the mire, never available. It's frustrating. So I think that in the end, the whole society is going to keep being divided. You got George Soros. He's you know, he just had a whole meeting for people with the whole dark money, Hillary Clinton putting money into dark money. And dark money basically is a fund for a coup to tear our government apart. George Soros is hated around the world because he meddles in elections. So what's the difference if he's meddling or the Russians are meddling? It's both bad, right? But no, the Democrats will happily open up their cash bag and say, hey, put money in here. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Can you sit down with these big politicians? Can you sit down with them and have a conversation with them? Chuck Schumer, can you sit down with him? Chuck Schumer said he wants a special counsel to go after Al Franken, going to get to the bottom of this. He didn't care about Anthony Weiner, Carlos Danger, his protege, who took his job and was looking to fulfill the job he has now, or fill it. He didn't care about that guy with all the terrible things he was doing. His horniness, which got him locked up in summer camp for a couple of years. Didn't care about Bill Clinton, you know, all his women accusing him of rape and molestation. Wow. Didn't care that Bill Clinton improperly used the Oval Office for sex games with Monica Lewinsky. He wasn't kicked out, not fired, not even reprimanded. He was impeached, right? And then not found guilty, though. There was no way they were going to. So that's called scandals. And I don't think that you can even come near a Hillary Clinton or a Bill Clinton without being slapped by some kind of scandal. You know, so why are we letting the worst possible people in the world run our lives? That's the big question. That's the question you guys have to answer. So email me. Tell me why. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live. And you know what? Stay tuned for a panel discussion. We're going to talk about sex, sex and sex and more sex. And we're going to just go out there and try to grab people, drag them on the air to make them talk about sex. So me, Joe Montaldo, sex. You got everybody. I don't know. Maybe even Lily White. Got Greg. Everybody. We're all going to be on there talking about sex. I like to say there was sex. I would say it's like this sex. I'd be like some douchebag that you can't tell like where I'm from. I will talk like this and talk about the passion of sex on the panel discussion. I am Miguel. This is United Public Radio Network. You'll be on talkradio.com. 107.5 New Orleans. 104.7 Bass Christian, bitches.